हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा वीर्यविषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya Nyaya Sutras. Okay, Sutra 139, page 41. No, 1139. Conclusion is the confirmation of the thesis after the reason, hetu, and the example, udaharana, have been stated. Like that here, it's also concluded the restatement. It says confirmation, that's also there, because it might be stated slightly differently. But the point is this restatement. Like that. Next sutra discusses on the eighth padartha called tarka, 1140. Hypothetical reasoning, tarka, is a form of deliberation, uha, for determining the specific nature of an object whose real nature is yet to be known. A vigyata tatve arte, by pointing out the real grounds for it. Tarka is carried on for ascertaining the real character of a thing that is not yet known, by showing the absurdity of all contrary characteristics through reasoning. Footnote 23.
It's like sarcasm?
No. It means it's that tarka is where you're analyzing if it could be this or that or... It's just that principle of analyzation. You know, so in one sense you can say is going through the avayavas is you're performing that point, but it's specifically tarka is that aspect of analyzing, you know, should it be this or that? You know, this will work, that won't work. Because you have to start with something, yes.
Yeah, it's like you don't know about it, you cannot specifically say where to categorize it. Then you say, okay, let us think it is in this category. If it is in this category, then it should have this properties. But it doesn't have. You cross off that, then you go to the next. If it's in the second category, then this is this. That's...
So what's the difference with samshaya? Between tarka and samshaya?
Samshaya is just you're expressing doubt, and tarka is you're coming to a conclusion through, in one sense, the process of case study. Like, whether it is case 1, case 2, case 3.
Okay.
It's not the case study as...
whether
it's... Yeah.
You cross over.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not this.
And will that be used in a specific place? Or that's just that principle?
That principle, like when you don't know about something, then you'll see whether you know whether it is in this category or this category. You first place in this category and see whether the result will come or not. If it doesn't come, then it's more used in a mathematical sense that you see whether it's case one, and then you see whether the answer matches. If it's not matches, then that's not the. Then you go to the other possibility.
Okay.
So it can be in the meanings of the words, like we did with what did you say, eri something. Remember last class?
Yeah.
And then we
eristic.
Said eristic. So there is this meaning, then this meaning, then you match.
Yeah, exactly.
Which would go?
The meaning.
That's one.
That would be, with the same or the object itself, you know. Is this a dog? You know, it's black. You know, it sits there. You know, it's got feet on the ground. You know, but then you go through, but, you know, I guess you could call that a little tail. But it doesn't wag the tail, it doesn't slobber, and it doesn't bark. So then it can't be a dog. You know, so it's you'd be going. So, because it's also sometimes the whole process of discussion, something is called tarka. We call it that, but it's actually tarka means analyzing what could be, you know, what is correct and what's not. So it can be within an analysis, within the Panchanga Nyaya. You know, you're going through and like that. So it's just, that's the thing with all these padarthas, they're principles that have their use somewhere. Where they're used, like especially if you're following the process of the avayavas for yourself, you don't necessarily have to go through everything. It's just how much you need. So in here, it's, you know, is it this, is it that? You're just analyzing. What are your options? Yes. Wait, so this would be based on Shabda, Tarka, or?
More Anumana.
It's always based on Anumana.
It acts as an accessory. The footnote explains.
Okay, footnote. Let's read the footnote. The word Tarka is used in various senses. Some, according to some, example, the Vaisheshikas and Buddhists, it is a form of inference. However, as one of the 16 categories enumerated by Gotama, it carries a technical sense. Right? So they're just saying it's a form of inference, but it's more than that. You know, because you'll see it where it's used, and then you'll see, oh, it's this. Just like Drishtanta will say, it's the example. It's not the example, it's what the example is supposed to accomplish. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you're supposed to go somewhere. You go to Calcutta, you use the car. But is the car the going to Calcutta? Because you could also get to Calcutta on the train. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, it's the principle is actually more important, because then the detail or its application may be in various ways or various combinations. That's generally where we get confused in most anything, is that Krishna consciousness, the Vedic, is presenting it from a principle, and then it has, let's say, a prominent application, but it also has others. And so then we think of it in one way, and then you find out it also has other meanings. Like I don't know if you remember a few years back, you know, because so much of the technical definitions we're giving in the earlier cantos, then as we started getting up into the higher cantos, especially ninth, then the and 11th, when it was we're used to it defined in one singular way. It actually has a few ways, and that one is quite prominent. And then when it was defined in a more subtle way, then you see sometimes the students will say, no, that's not the definition, it's this.
It was adhyatmika, as a dialogue and not devotee, and then we shifted my position.
Yeah. And then so it's just, you just, because it's a principle, it applies in so many things. You know, it's like, so you can see it on different levels. You know, like Atma. Atma means body, Atma means the mind, Atma means the consciousness, Atma means the soul, Atma means the super soul. So you can have all those things, Atma. So depending upon, you know, what it's applying to, then that's where it's used. Because if they say the thing, I am Atma, you know, then it's saying, I am Paramatma, but you don't control everything. You just sit there and try to convince yourself. It's like, oh. So that means this Mayavad philosophy is the original law of attraction. You know, I am God, I move the sun, I move the moon. They do all that kind of stuff. But it never actually happens. All that happens is they get attracted back into material life. So there's nothing that the Indian gurus haven't done. So it means a form of deliberation, uha, which acts as an accessory to a pramana without itself being a pramana. Right? It itself, tarka is not a pramana, it's just how to see if something is actually. So that's why it says it's an access, it's an accessory to a pramana. So pramana can mean projection, you see it, anuman, that you're inferring it, or shabda, that it's coming from there. So it's an accessory to that, and understand. So Shastra says this, so is this what Shastra is saying? or, you know, it appears like this, but is that what it is? Or I see this, but is it this or that?
Padarthas
are describing the whole thing. There are principles that are there. So, and pramana is the first one. Everything has to be based on pramana. And then from that, what are you going to do with that unless you establish it? Then that's going to be the pramayas. And then to do that, that dynamic with these two, then that's your other padarthas. Means your next eight, those are the ones that are more useful for that. And then after that, then the last four, those are ones that generally you would avoid using. Right? Like that. Unless you're dealing with Elmer Fudd or something, then you might have to use it. Especially if he's got a shotgun. You know, so it's just, in other words, the first ten are solid, and the last four are ones that aren't so proper. But people use them all the time, so you should know what they are. So you know how it works. I thought you were in the academy, but you're in the MI. on your backpack.
the bag has...
Oh.
Yes.
We have a spy.
Okay, that's what's going on. Well, that's how other courses are developing. Every day it goes back. Okay, yeah, today.
They start Russian course, I think.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
This weekend.
Yeah, see.
Is it? Next weekend.
See? That's he's never told us anything that they're doing.
Well, they don't do much.
He was going to wait till the end of the year. give a summary report.
He's an MI, we're in the Apple company.
So that's about a computer.
Yeah, this is electronics.
Indians. The purpose of such a deliberation is the attainment of, quote, the right knowledge of an object. Because you're speaking about, you're either speaking about the object itself, and so then you're going to analyze that, or you want to use an object in the discussion as a presentation, but until you know what the right object is, it wouldn't work if you used that as an element or a praman or anything. Does that make sense? If you don't know what something is, you can't use it as part of the vada, as part of the discussion. So it's either the discussion is to figure out what it is, or it's to having figured it out to be able to use it in a greater context. So that makes sense. So it's the principle of trying to ascertain what something actually is. You know, it's like I've seen many times. I mean, I specifically remember where it stands out the most was in New York. At the program, I think, for the Sunday feast, or maybe it was a bigger program. And so then all the different devotees are in the kitchen, they're all cooking their preparations, and you know, somebody or a couple of people are working on the sweets, they've done the sweet rice. Now they've finished the sweet rice, and then, you know, like that. But now they need to, according to Tarka, ascertain if it's sweet enough. So the first thing you do is get out generally about a 200 ml plastic cup, and you fill it up quite, you know, you're bold, you fill it up. You know, you're not overly spilling off, but you fill it up. And then the other guy, and generally there's, you know, two or three of them, so like three of them, they each have 200 ml of sweet rice. They drink the whole cup. And while they're drinking, like that, and sometimes by the end of the cup, then they go, yeah, it's sweet enough. Or sometimes they go, I don't know. And then they take more. And then in the second cup, then they go, yeah, no, I think it's okay. Or I think it needs a little bit more, or like that. So that would be Tarka.
Is this offerable now?
But they were just testing it to see if it was all right for Krishna. I mean, traditionally you take like a, you know, a teaspoon or half a teaspoon in your hand and then touch that and then check and then you do, but they had a slightly different padati. Does that make sense? Yes, then, but then you have to apply that. Just like, let's say your, let's say it's because it says it's an accessory, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, remember the example about the blue cow, right? That the blue cow is an animal. There's this animal in Vrindavan that looks like a cow, but it's not a cow, right? And it's not cacao or macao. It's like a cow, and so it has that, but it's a little bit, you know, blue color and this and that. So then the person sees, then through that connection, the overall they're using anuman, that, you know, this thing's like a cow, but it's not a cow, and so they see something that looks like a cow, but it's not a cow, and so then it must be this point. But there's the aspect of tarka is that they're saying, is this the one that they're talking about? Right? Because there's also that sadhu walking down the road covered in blue paint and all that, you know, and you know, he's also blue, so is he the blue cow? No?
No, I looked up, it's actually called the Asian antelope.
Asian antelope. Yeah, well, it's called, they call it because in local there they call it Neil guy.
Yeah.
So it means blue cow, but it's a kind of deer, yes, an antelope or something like that.
It's quite big, actually.
Yeah, it's very big, and it's not your standard deer shape.
Yeah.
But it's not actually a cow shape.
The rare part, it's solid.
Yeah.
Because deer usually they more gentle.
Yeah. No, it's solid, so it's just, you know, you don't want to get kicked by one of those.
No.
Does that make sense? So it's an accessory. So the process where you're analyzing, is this what it is? That aspect is the tarka. But there's a process on which it's used, because it can also be, you know, okay, Shastra says this, is this what it is? You know, or pratyaksha, like we gave the example of sweet rice, that would be pratyaksha. Sweet rice is supposed to be sweet, so then is it sweet? And so then they test and see if it's sweet. That makes sense? We're not necessarily condoning or recommending that New York process of understanding of the sweet rice is sweet. I'm just giving it as an example. Like, so, in other words, we're giving that, you know, that thing, do not try this at home. You know?
Yes.
Disclaimer, yes.
Especially not in the temple.
Yeah. No, yes.
Just don't try it anywhere.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that. You go into these buffets, you know, the Carmi buffet or something like that, and you see there's some, you know, it's like, let's say it's generally like an Asian thing like that, but you have some Western guy that doesn't know, and he's looking at the prep, looks interesting. He takes the big spoon from putting it on your plate, and he actually takes some and puts it in his mouth. He goes,
yeah.
And then he takes some and puts it on his plate, and he goes, nah, puts the spoon down and goes to the next one. Yeah, so.
We've seen it. The appetite immediately drops down. You don't want to eat.
Especially because you don't know. And then you look around, how many of those guys are there here?
Already sitting there.
It gets worse. Huh? It gets worse. So there's an American version of such a buffet called Old Country Buffet.
Old Country Buffet.
Okay. They have a chocolate fountain. So, you know, you hold strawberries or whatever you want underneath the fountain so it gets covered in chocolate and you eat it. But the kids are also going up to the fountain, just sticking their fingers in, licking their finger back in.
Did anybody ever put their, like, head under it?
I haven't seen it personally because I don't go there, but yeah, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Significantly worse.
Anybody who goes there, they already know that it's all pure
Yeah.
Nothing, no other rules apply there. Only they are qualified to be those places, at those places.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've seen even in India, they do not like this, but...
it's one thing,
yeah,
it's
just
a hand in that. That
no,
that, it's just
they,
not good.
They put on the plate and they try. Good. Take more. That's what I've seen.
Oh.
Wow,
it's gone down. Previously, they never.
No, but
it used to be like you go like fruit vendors or any of these things like that, and they give you some to try. They would afterwards give you water to wash.
Yeah.
They would get the water. You know, they just pick up the water, you know, when they're done.
That's gone long there.
That's so that got kind of blown out of the way when the meteor hit and all that.
Yes.
The last guy that used to do that, this thing, that big brontosaurus, when it died because the meteor hit and fell on top of him, and so then.
It was in a very high-end hotel, so I think they were just copying those things.
Mm. So the Brits.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Brits were
there. It's the northern half. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's so weird. Yeah. Okay.
Somehow that's sophistication.
Yes. No. You're not pronouncing it right. Sophistication.
Oh, yeah, right, sorry.
Sophistication. Okay. But because, okay, how can it lead to such knowledge? Because it points to the real grounds or proofs in favor of the knowledge. So what are the actual proofs? Right, you know? How can it, okay. But what is the nature of the object for such a deliberation?
What?
But what is the nature of the object for which such a deliberation is appropriate? It has relevance for an object which is known in general, but whose specific nature is not yet known. The question of such a deliberation does not arise in case of an object which is completely unknown, or the specific nature of which is already determined. So again, like logic. So in other words, it's an element of logic. So you know something, but not necessarily everything. And so then you're trying to categorize where it goes. So also the intelligence will do that, is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about the process when you're going through the mind. It means the senses bring in information, you know, from the aspect of the mind, the manas. Then in the second stage, as the chitta, then it's going to start to look at it, choose which ones. It's choosing which one to go by. I mean, so much data is there, but which information will be chosen by looking at the memory? Because the memory has the samskara. So whereas there's an impression, that's the one that, you know, that it will pick. Right? And so then having picked that, now you're going to analyze. So then you have to put it into... In doing that, you have to, how you say, take it and find what category it goes in. Right? Because when you take something, you have to put it in a category, because you can't analyze something unless it's in a category. But once you so the tarka will be which category it goes in, once you get it in the category, then it'll be, okay, what are the details within the category? So you're working out everything. Once you have that, now the intelligence can actually do something. Now what do you do with it? What are your options? You know, so the reasoning will happen after this. So until the tarka is in place, you can't do the full reasoning. Does that make sense? You know, so only then you have that, and then accordingly, according to your identity, you will choose the various options. Because for any one situation and action, there's many, many results, or many, many people could be involved, but you can only be involved in the ones you identify with. That's why you see all these self-help things that are always trying to get you to have a confidence of an identity. Once you have that confidence, then you can be very strong. But if you don't have that confidence, then you can't, you won't do anything. So then once I worked it out, then okay, I have this nature, I can relate to of the various options, you know, option C, and so therefore I can do that because that fits what I'm doing. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it has its place, that it's going to establish something, you know, through the praman. Like, this is what Shastra says, or this is what the logic would show, or this is what is seen. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like someone says something, you say, oh, have you seen that? You know? You know, is it there? Is there an example? And then you have to go as, okay, so it doesn't fit into that. But, you know, because then you've established it, that it's either an object that can be used in connection with pratyaksha anumana or shabda. Yeah? So in other words, it's a part, just like all these are a part of the thing. But he's giving them separately, because the beginning you saw is that, well, why don't we just say it's all, say, you know, praman and prameya? You know, it's either evidence or what is proved by the evidence. But then, without these subsections, you see that they have their own identity, and they take part in that process. So each of the 14 padarthas after that are either directly taking part, or directly an obstacle to understanding what something is. So, does that make sense? So it's just a matter of understanding where it goes, because sometimes it may be a major aspect, and sometimes it may be a minor aspect, or something's obvious, you don't need to use it. It might be you don't need to use the tarka, because it's already, you know, established. Now it's just looking at it from a different angle. So you could say the tarka is being used, let's say, not on the object itself, but the application of the object. You know, but it still it shifts. So, you know, it's just like, for most, varnashram is not even something we would use. And when we're discussing, it's how we would use it. You know? So you would use it like this. We would use what the acharyas recommend. We won't use what the smartas recommend. Even though all the rules that the smartas talk about are in the shastra, or at least they're based on that what's in the shastra. So we'll use what our acharyas say. Because it is also, it's Shastra, but they're saying out of these, you know, 100 items that Manu mentions, we do these 12. And the other ones, those are for the smartest. If you're in a situation where you're dealing with that one particular thing, which we generally aren't, then that's what you would do. Right? It means if you actually happen to have a piece of turtle shell, and it becomes contaminated, you want to purify it, then yeah, it has to be planed. But if you don't deal with it, you know, we don't deal with turtle shells, so therefore, you know, why would we do that?
How do you purify it?
Planing. Means whenever you go back to Israel and all that, you take it with you on the flight.
That's what I saw. That's what I saw then. It was just too far out.
Yeah, no. It means a plane is that thing. It's like a chisel that is put in a box that only lets a certain amount of the chisel stick out. And so then you run it along the top of, let's say, the piece of wood, and it takes off just that much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how you purify it. I mean, you could probably, if you want to put in the time, you could sand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the main point is, in other words, that layer that's contaminated, the only way to purify it is to actually scrape it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's how they cook cheese in the Netherlands. That's why I put it.
Very thin slices, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't put it very
thin. Oh.
Yeah, it's not like Americans. We take a chunk.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very thin. Yeah, but they might put a few layers, but it's more for just, I think it's probably the whole thing is very delicate, so that it works.
Americans, cheese and ice cream is the food in itself.
Yeah.
Why
would
everywhere else?
Of course.
It's an addition.
So it's just following in the footsteps of, you know, Vrindavan. You know, dairy is the main. He's ice cream on his own, because you have to see, it's ice cream on his own you could eat, but you could also put it with different sauces or different other toppings or this or that.
Float.
Hmm?
Float. Float.
Float.
Float.
Float. Float, yeah, yeah. Also liquids, yes. It's various ways. Or you have a pie, you put it on the side. Or, You know, so it's very, very versatile, like that.
Breakfast is nearing, obviously. For example.
I see. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. So just like that, it has to be something that you know something about, because you can't analyze something you have no idea about. So in other words, there is no logical, scientific way for a contemporary Western archaeologist to actually identify many articles and aspects in the lifestyle of anyone of any other culture. So in other words, if they went down and found in the garbage dump, you know, some article in that from that, you know, Western culture right there, then they could probably identify it. But if it was anybody else, you know, it was, then they can't identify, because they don't know, they have no context to start from. They see something, they don't know, oh, this is a kitchen utensil. Okay, I know it's a kitchen, now what can it do in the kitchen? Now I start the Tarka. But they just say, you know, it's like, you have a pot, you know, it's a kind of hat or something, you know. And so then this must have been, you know, the people were very big because the opening was big, so, you know, they had very big heads, so they had very round heads. So they couldn't have been from these backgrounds, because these guys have more kind of oval heads, you know, like that. And so it had to be guys from this particular district. And so we found one place in Africa where they have that kind of round head. So at some point, you know, 2 million years ago, they migrated up to here, and they, you know, set up and they left these pots. Even though those guys in Africa don't use pots as hats, but they got that kind of head. Yeah. So that's what you're working with. Is Tarka can't be used where you have no context. So that's the difficulty. It's like a,
so for determining someone's, so if someone asks you, I don't know what my varna is, for example. Do you identify what the qualities are?
Yeah, you start with something.
And then you try to see if it fits in any of those categories.
Yeah, you just go and then you figure, or if it's a mix, you know, much of the time. Because a lot of times if they don't know they're a mix.
Yes.
If you're not a mix, generally you know. Like I've seen like you know, traditional family Vaishyas. There's no question of this. It's just, we're Vaishyas. This is what we do. Because I say, oh, why don't you do this? And he just look at me and says, we're Vaishyas. We never do that. Mm-hmm. So that's for the other people. We do this.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, again, that's more prestigious. I could get that. Because that's, what do you call it? No,
prestigious.
Yeah, that'll be the Shankara. Vaishyas, no, we do like this. It means if the prestige is the profit you want to get, and that from that you can get more, then they might use it. But it has to be profit oriented. Prestige is not enough.
Vaishyas from a different part of the world, they make it prestigious.
Ah, that's another thing. But that's after you've got it. You know, so you make a,
whatever you do is just prestigious.
Yeah. You just take. Yeah, it's like you get a rundown old place. You know, your grand aunt left you some, her old house, and it's run down and this and that, so then you clean it up like that and then open it as a rustic, you know, bed and breakfast and like that, and then sell it for some high end kind of thing, and even though it's just a run down place. Yeah, so that's it. Okay, is that okay? Commentary by Vatsyayana Rishi. Regarding an object, the specific nature of which is not yet known. Like, see, specific, we know general. Generic is known, but specific we don't know. There arises an inquiry in the form. Quote, I would like to know its specific nature. End quote. Probably in the form of. Okay. In respect of the object thus inquired, one separately considers the possibility of two contradictory characteristics as belonging to it. Quote, is this its specific nature? End quote. Or is its specific nature not this? The inquirer ultimately ascertains one of the two characteristics thus doubted by way of providing proof in its favor, i.e., therefore there is ground for proof. because there is ground or proof or justification in favor of this alternative. As there is definite proof in favor of this alternative, the object must be of such a nature and not otherwise. So, more than that, is that, so it's just that principle. Where that's used, then you see. Does that make sense? Sure. So this is continuing.
Yes, yes.
This is Vatsyayana.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Okay. I should grab my watch. Oh, I have the watch here. Just to make sure. Even last time, I had it right there, and I said, oh, wow, we have 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes later, then, early time. Here's an example where the inquiry takes the form, quote, I should like to know the exact nature of the knower that cognizes the various objects known. Means, I want to know the exact nature of who knows what is seen. Means something's being identified, but who's identifying what's being identified? Right? Does that make sense? You see an object, who actually is seeing the object? But I want to know the specific nature of who's seeing the object. Right? Because remember, I think one of the first ones was the soul. You know, of the 12 objects of Pramaya, you know, to be discussed is soul. So what is the exact nature of the soul? So, yeah? Okay. The doubt takes the form, is this knower of the nature of something produced or of something not produced? Right? Because what I see, you know, we see it, is produced. But now who sees what's seen that's produced, are they produced or are they not produced? Right? Does that make sense?
There was one French philosopher, he was even doubting whether the knower of nature ever existed. Therefore, he had to come up with cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I exist.
Oh, I see. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, he was doubting everything.
Did he even doubt if he existed? Okay. Then they should have got a very nice long hill, got in the cart, put him in the cart, you know, with no steering, and let him go down the hill.
He's connected to the cartwheel.
Could be. Yeah.
We could rename him or give him a nickname,
Descartes. Yes. One time, one Indian, I had a student, Indian group. One of them was from impersonal Gurukula. And he, all of my lessons, he tried to prove me that nothing is exist. Mm-hmm. And I tried from different ways, but he rejected all things. And I told him, give me your pocket. He gave it.
Give your?
Pocket. This money. I told him, it's not exist, no problem, walk away. No, please give me my pocket. but nothing is exist. He said, okay, it's exist.
Yes, exactly.
So it should end in pratyaksha.
Yes.
All so arguments ending in pratyaksha. Otherwise, it's just void talk.
Just once. Yeah.
So you throw the fuse from a Vaishnava background?
I could be. Because it's very rare. I heard one devotee say he did that to somebody who was making a strong argument. It's nothing like this. And he did the same thing. He took his wallet, took out $100 bill. Like that. You know, a significant amount of money and said, you know, so then. Like that, and the guy had to swallow it. He was so proud, he would not go with the reality. Yeah, he let him take it. I think he got a million books, but you know, whatever it is. Yeah. You could also, at the end of the final exam, you know, you hand back the paper and put no mark on it, and just because it doesn't exist.
Zero.
Huh?
Zero.
Yeah.
Sure.
It doesn't exist.
In this version that I heard of this story, which I guess is the same story,
It is the Giriraj Swami, when he was a Brahmacharya, then he was in America. And then, but actually the boy came, like a few hours later, he came back and he found him. He said, could you please give me at least $30? I have to pay my rent.
Oh, okay. Could be a Giriraj Swami. Like that. He says, what do you need to pay the rent? Just stay with us in the temple. Like that. Full room and board. Yeah, that's funny. When one asserts the specific characteristic in favor of which one finds definite ground in respect of the object, the specific nature of which is doubted and the specific nature of which is unknown. The assertion takes the following form. So he's always bringing about is that it's doubted, the specific nature is doubted, and the specific nature is unknown. He's not saying the general nature. The general nature you know. Like that. You have to know something, right? The assertion takes the following form. Only when the knower is of the nature of something not produced, i.e. is eternal, it can enjoy the fruits of its own actions, i.e. can enjoy the pleasure or pain resulting from the actions of its previous births. Right? Because if the soul ends with the body, then how will karma work? Right? Because next life you get the results of this life. So that means that they have to be. Right? Further, of suffering, birth, activity, evil, and false knowledge. Further, of suffering, birth, activity, evil, and false knowledge. They didn't give anything positive. The previous ones can enjoy the fruits, but here it just mentions. What are the fruits? Suffering, birth, activity, evil, and false knowledge. Each of the succeeding, one causes the preceding one, and on the removal of each succeeding one is removed the immediate preceding one. Removal of each succeeding one is removed the immediate preceding one, huh?
What causes succeeding one, comma, then is removed the immediate preceding one.
Yeah, we just need a few more commas. It means that by false, it means false.
By removal of false.
When you get real knowledge, that will remove evil. Because you do evil because you have false knowledge. Then when you get rid of evil, then there's proper
activity.
Yeah. When you get rid of material activity, there's no birth. When you get rid of birth, there's no suffering.
Okay. This is the second verse of...
What?
Second sutra. This is the second sutra.
In this way, there can be worldly existence and liberation only on the assumption that the knower is of the nature of something not produced. Because otherwise, how do you get to that point of no suffering? There's no birth, so it means there must be eternal. Mm. On the assumption that the knower is of the nature of something produced, there can be no explanation of worldly existence and liberation. The knower is viewed as something produced, it will have to be considered as being conjoined with body, senses, mind, and awareness only at the moment it is produced, and hence this connection with body, etc., will not be the result of its own previous action. Right? So it can't be the previous action. That's the problem. It's when they get rid of they're accepting the soul is eternal, but they're getting rid of karma, and there's only one birth. So therefore, you can't explain why different people are in different situations and get different results with the same word.
And the soul is born, but it is eternal.
Yeah. No. It's just pointing out, because some people will say that. You know, like I think Charaka and these guys. It's just, whoever's atheist, modern academies talks like this.
Charaka.
Charvaka is Ayurveda, so he's okay. Charvaka is the problem.
There's one good thing about
Charvaka. Is that something connected with Charvaka? The guy who started, the English guy who started Calcutta?
It's somehow connected to this verse, Charvaka. Unapana Charvita Charvana Charvaka is the guy who is
always chewing the chew. Oh, wow, that's really cool. Charvak means chew. So Charvak really means the rishi who chews.
He chews up stuff.
Yes.
Anamoy.
Okay, because he chews.
Yeah. That's a good part of it.
Food is God.
But at least he chose the right example, ghee.
Ghee, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he didn't pick, what was that called?
Salad.
What's that funny stuff that they this imitation sugar?
Dalda? Imitation?
Yeah, or saccharin, stevia, or like that. He wasn't using that. Or margarine, or yeah, something that was like.
He didn't know about it. At that time, he didn't know.
I would say he wouldn't want to know.
I think he would reconsider his philosophy.
But by taste, you can tell. Because they always say margarine has the same good buttery taste that never does.
Maybe he was in the West, he would say olive oil and cheese.
It depends where he's from.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, it depends where you're from.
But then no one would also listen to him because he'd just be another person.
He'd just be another person.
In your social media feed that you scroll by.
On the same ground, the same...
When
something is produced, it is produced not as something previously existing. And hence there can be no enjoyment of the fruits of the knower's own actions, which are non-existing or completely destroyed. Right? Because if you didn't exist before, you can't say that I get the results of my karma. Right? Because you say karma is results from previous action. But if you're only at birth existed, that means before that, you can't get any results from that because you didn't exist. Right? And if you don't exist, that means after, you can't get any results. So since the Shastra will talk about karma, and this is how it works, then the soul has to be eternal. You know? Yeah. On the same ground, the same nor cannot have connections with various bodies in its different births, nor can it have absolute cessation of connection with body during liberation. You know, the same principle. You know, the alternative for which no adequate ground is ascertained is not asserted. Deliberation of this nature is known as tarka, right? So, therefore, then you can't ascertain that is there, that the soul, you know, is non-eternal. So all you can ascertain is that it has to be eternal, right? Because if you go by tarka and everything, I mean, you go by the karma and all these different things that the Shastra talks about a lot. And that's why the smartas are performing all their rituals and all that. It's you know, why are they so proud that they're born into Brahmin families? Because it's all based on that the soul's eternal. So then one would have to accept. Yeah.
So it's a way to remove samshaya.
Remove?
To remove samshaya, to remove doubt. That's the way how you remove doubt.
It assists in removing the doubt. It's still always a necessary. Yeah, the next sentence says that it will not definitely divine on its own. That's why it's not a praman on its own. It's assisting always.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be part of what you use, but you may have to use it more or less. Because you might give an example, and just by the example people understand, so you don't have to say it can't be this, it can't be that.
But can we say, Mara, is that Tarpa is part of projection? Based on our own knowledge.
Yes, but the analyzation then is going to be anuman.
Yes.
But where did you get it? Where did the karma come from?
Anuman definition itself is it's after knowledge. Means either it should be based on pratyaksha or based on shabda. Oh, okay. So in that sense it connects to pratyaksha, but it's more of anuman.
Yeah, so it connects to all three, but it's being used, you know, within anuman.
So it's an aspect of anima.
You can say it's accessory. Yeah. It's not an aspect, it's an accessory because it does have its own identity.
Yeah.
That's why we're going through the Padarthas like this, because we'll simplify, oh, it's just part of this, but then you'll lose it, and it's not part of this because no one thinks of it like that. No, it's brought out because that analysis like that, that's the Tarka. So you that, you know, that's part of something that you may be doing there. Does that make sense? Because we heard it from Shabda, but now in your example in Pratyaksha, that's where you're going to do, because that's where you clear doubts also. Why is Tarka considered an accessory to the attainment of right knowledge and not right knowledge as such? To the attainment of right knowledge and not right knowledge as such. So it's not right knowledge as such itself. It's an accessory to the attainment of right knowledge. Does that make sense?
It's a tool.
It's a tool. Because it does not by itself establish one of the alternatives definitely. It simply asserts one of the characteristics by pointing to the real grounds, but does not by itself ascertain or establish or demonstrate in the form this object must be of such a nature. It just says, in other words, that will be the anuman, right? When you connect the major term to the minor term, that's then when it's you've connected. So what you're doing is just showing that, let's say, the major and the minor, you know, is it means, you know, there's smoke. Is it smoke? You know, it could be mist, it could be this, it could be...
It could be cloud.
So many different things. So then you establish that it is smoke, and it is a hill.
So it's not a conclusive statement.
No.
It's just the tool to get to a conclusion based on...
Yes. It's an aspect of right knowledge that will be used for the bigger picture in the sun. So now you've established it is a hill and it is smoke. Now when you do now the middle term with the what do you call it? The
minor.
No, the major term is that then fire is always with smoke. So now then you can go back to the
Vyapti.
Yeah, the Vyapti, the minor term, now that the therefore there's smoke there on the mountain, therefore there's fire. So it appears from at least on this example that it's used to establish between the middle and the minor term. Not necessarily the major term. But you could use it in the middle and major if you're showing that, you know, about fire and smoke. You know, going through, does fire have smoke? You know, they say grandfather does smoke his pipe. Did he light it with fire?
Now we have e-cigarettes.
That's vapor, though. That's not smoke.
Yeah.
Vapor. Oh, I see.
But at the same time, it's e because it works on electricity, and electricity is fire. It's just a more controlled form of fire.
But it doesn't have smoke.
It has smoke.
It's vapor.
It.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
That's why it's vaping.
It's like a cloud. Cloud's
vapor. Just like the one that the cigarette has smoke, therefore you're smoking. This e-cigarette has vapor, therefore you're vaping.
Okay.
That's another point.
Okay, so you get
into
it.
Anyway, I got it.
So in any case...
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Actually, Prabhupada Ki. So in other words, we've come to the actual point of the 16th Padartha of Nigrahasta. It's too close to breakfast and the brain doesn't work, and so we can't get everything.